Good morning. Please remain seated as we join together in our hymn of preparation as printed in your bulletins. Street United Methodist Church this morning. We certainly welcome all of you here this morning, and especially those that are visiting with us this morning. We hope that you do indeed feel welcome at Main Street. If you're a visitor and you're looking for a church home, we hope that you will consider Main Street as a possibility for that church home. And as we pass the attendance pads, if you would give us your address and phone number, that will allow us to have someone contact you and let you know what's going on in the life of the church. So, if you would now, please pass those attendance pads, and members and visitors alike, please register your attendance. Looks like this morning that a lot of people are taking their last vacation before school starts back this week. I'm sure that kids are ready to get back into school this week, so we hope that you have a great school year. A lot going on in the life of the church this week. Board of Stewards, members of the Board of Stewards are reminded of a meeting this afternoon at 5 o'clock in the Trinity classroom, a very important meeting. We will be discussing several issues of new programs, so we need all of the members of the Board of Stewards to be present for that at 5 o'clock. Then immediately following that will be a disciple informational meeting and ice cream social at 6:30 in the Fellowship Hall. Youth will be meeting this afternoon at 6 o'clock for their fall kickoff. Jessica says that youth should come with a bathing suit, a towel, a chair, and a friend. So all of the youth, please be present for that at 6 o'clock. Don't forget any one of those four items: bathing suit, towel, chair, and a friend. Also, this Thursday, members of our Out Loud Service Praise Team, who are now known as Main Point, will be performing on the square downtown as a part of the Live After 5 program beginning at 5:30 this Thursday afternoon. So everyone, please make plans to attend that and support our praise team on Thursday afternoon. Next Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock, we will have our End of the Summer Blast. We'll be at Grand Harbor. Every member of the church is invited to that. If you are going to be present, please call the church office and make reservations. Cost for that will be $1 per person. Also, gatherings begin again this Wednesday night. Our program will be missions. The meal begins at 5:15, the program at 6. You can make reservations by filling out one of the reservation cards in the pew rack there, or by calling the church office and letting them know that you will be attending that. And as I stepped up here this morning, someone handed me this hot pink sheet that says, "Attention, a flock of flamingos have been spotted in the Greenwood area. Are you insured?" Let us now prepare our hearts for worship.
Thank you. This is the day dedicated to God. Let this gathering place be a home for all people. May God be gracious to us and bless us. May God's face shine over all the earth's people. Let all the people praise the God of all nations. Let us give thanks and enjoy the blessings God gives. May God grant us understanding and courage. May faith grow beyond our doubts. The earth has yielded its blessing. Let all the ends of the earth revere our Creator. God brings us together in unity of purpose. Let us worship God.
How good and pleasant it is, O God, when kindred live together in unity. Draw us now into the community you intend for all your people. Help us to listen and understand both your word for us and our sharing with one another. Keep us from being misled by popular acclaim and the wisdom of the marketplace. May we not be unobservant guides to one another, but rather be fully open to your gifts and obedient to your call. Come to us now with healing and blessing. Amen. I would like to invite the third graders down front for the presentation of the Bibles, and also Glenn Williams. I don't know if Glenn knows he's being invited. Where is Glenn? Is Glenn here? He doesn't know, and he's not here. No, there he is. Okay. Glenn, I'm inviting down because he's taught the third grade for how many years? 19 or 20. And he's retiring from that, but we want to recognize him for having done it so long. And there is going to be an honorarium that's been being given to the Backyard Bible Club in your honor. And also, I just wanted you to stand up here while we present these Bibles. I remember when I got my Bible, and back when I was a third grader and got mine, it was a huge Bible. Some of you remember, with the pictures and all that stuff in it. Now, you don't have to read them all at once. You don't have to read your Bibles all at once. You can kind of pick and choose, and you're not allowed to read Song of Solomon and the Revelation until you're 18. Okay? They'll turn straight to that, won't they? Anyway. Okay? Keaton Alexander, we bestow upon you your very own Bible. We expect you to read it and to study it and to learn to live it. And as you'll find out in just a moment, some folks will be taking the Disciple Bible Study, will be in their 50s and 60s and 70s, and they haven't completely understood and applied every part of it either. So it takes a lifetime. Okay. Ben Harley. Stand. Is your Bible? Peyton Joseph. There you go. Marissa Rogers and Hampton Warner. There you go. Glenn, we thank you for your work, and we know that it is tremendously rewarding to have an impact on young people's lives. My third grade teacher was one during a troubled time in my life who made a tremendous impact on my life. Number one, by making me memorize Scripture. And I found the shortest verse I could find. I didn't know where Jesus wept was. I couldn't find that. So I found, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Didn't understand it at the time, but I said it every week. And over time, I have learned that we all reflect the reality of that verse, and we all claim with great joy the grace and forgiveness of God's love in Jesus Christ.
To follow up on that wonderful presentation, I'd like to start with 2 Timothy 3, 16 through 17, a good reminder of how wonderful Scripture is. And these are Paul's words. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching the truth, for reproof, rebuking error, correcting faults, and giving instruction for right living, so that the person who serves God may be fully qualified and equipped to do every kind of good deed. If that were all that Scripture was for, that would be enough. But I want to tell you a little bit about what Disciple Bible Studies have meant over the years. For 15 years, Main Street has been offering opportunities to gather into a small group and participate in study, in knowing who God is, not just knowing about Him, but knowing who God is. We have had some 191 members and other members of other churches to participate. Some have taken all, some only one, some only two, but I'd love for anybody who has ever had a disciple class, whether at this church or another congregation, would you please stand? Let's just, not to recognize you so much, but just to see what the critical mass is here. Look at these folks. This time next year, think about, I'd like to be one of those. I'd like to be one who can stand and say, I have made a commitment of 36 weeks for Disciple 1, or 30 weeks for some of the others, 32 for others. But I would like for you to know that you're all welcome to come tonight to learn more, to come and see. come and see what others say about what disciple has done in their lives. It's not just about information from the Bible, but it's about transformation. So come to our social. We'll have some ice cream sundaes to feed the body, but you'll also get some soul food. Thank you.
My sermon keeps disappearing when other people talk. You really don't want me to miss my manuscript. It won't be shorter. It'll be much longer as I say, a lot. As we come to our time of prayer, let us be mindful of several concerns in particular. One is Albert Gambrell, another Billy Tunstall, and another is Jamie Lyles, who is going to have some surgery on her shoulder in the week to come. Joy Pinckney, who had some procedure this last week, but is okay with us now, and many other concerns that we lift up before God in our time of silent prayer. Let us pray. O Thou who spoke and called the universe into being, who created flowers and play-like colors like a child emptying a box of crayons, who taught the mothers of every sort and species how to bring forth their young, who gave eye and muscle that we might race and compete to discover our limits and our possibilities. Thou who taught dreamers how to dream of what is not yet and believe that it just might be. We gather in your presence to worship, called here some of us by the heavy hand of parents who said this family is going to church, brought here some of us by a need, or perhaps an empty place inside that we can hardly name, yet know it cannot be filled by any lesser thing. Drawn here some of us because we have been overcome by wonder too often to ignore. Sent out from here by a holy obligation to share with the world the hope and the wholeness that we have found in this company. Now we slip into this holy place where generations before us have spoken their faith, in the hope that we too might find the words to express a faith and a conviction that the empty place within our souls can only be filled by the one that we know to be God. We come with fear and trembling, for you will not leave us unscathed and unsent. You will not leave us comfortable with trite or fluffy answers, and you will not leave us with our easy compromises. You are the God who calls us to follow as learners of the Lord of life. You are the God who might just send us to the ends of the earth to find and heal your little ones on the verge of being lost. You are the God who calls us to see the world as you see it, and to hear the cry for justice as you hear it. You are the God who will not settle for cheap promises. So now we wait in holy expectation for the praises of your people to ring through our holy place, knowing, hoping that we will be caught up in the passion and the conviction and finally the cry forming on our tongues, anticipating the moment when with one voice we will cry, glory. Glory to the God of creation, to the Savior, to the God of the cross and empty tomb, to the Spirit who gives power to ordinary folks like us. And when our praises are sung and the echoes of the organ fall away, we commit ourselves anew to your service in this world. We will offer our lives and our work to be your visible presence in the world, the body of Christ. And we will serve and love our neighbors and our enemies as Christ has taught us. And we will bear witness to the work and the love of our Lord, our Savior Jesus, in whose name we pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
Our Old Testament reading today is from Genesis, chapter 45, verses 1 through 15. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried out, "Send everyone away from me." So no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, so dismayed were they at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brethren, "Come closer to me." And they came closer. He said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are 5 more years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and ruler over the land of Egypt. Hurry and go to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not delay. You shall settle in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, and you and your children and your children's children, as well as your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. I will provide for you there, since there are 5 more years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have will not come to despair. And now your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see that it is my own mouth that speaks to you. You must tell my father how greatly I am honored in Egypt and all that you have seen. Hurry and bring my father down here." Then he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, while Benjamin wept upon his neck. And he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. And after that, his brothers talked with him. The epistle reading is from Romans chapter 11, verses 1 and 2a and 29 through 32. I ask then, has God rejected his people? By no means. I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Just as you were once disobedient to God, but have now received mercy because of their disobedience, so they have now been disobedient in order that by the mercy shown to you, they too may now receive mercy. For God has imprisoned all in disobedience so that he may be merciful to all. These readings are the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Lord, make me a instrument. us continue with our worship now through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, and our special gifts. The earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We thank you for entrusting unto us enough resources to meet our every need and for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these tithes, these returns unto your church. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen.
Please be seated, and we invite the children to come forward for the children's message.
Good morning. Y'all have to be more awake than that. Good morning. Much better. So, does anybody know what today is? What's today? What? It's Sunday, yes, but there's also something very special that went on today. Most of you maybe experienced it during Sunday school. Promotion Sunday, that's right. What's so special about Promotion Sunday? What? You get to be in new classes, that's exciting. You're really with the same class, but you get a new teacher, right? And you start a new school year, so you are in a new grade. How many of you are in the third grade? Y'all just got your Bibles this morning, and that's really special. But tomorrow, school starts, and whenever I was in the youth Sunday school classroom this morning, they told me not to even mention school. But I'm going to mention it this morning, but school starts tomorrow. Y'all ready for school start tomorrow? No. I bet your parents are ready for school to start tomorrow. Your dad's ready? Well, this morning I brought some school supplies since it's school starts tomorrow. So I have a little folder, and I've got some index cards and some scissors and some pens and pencils and a highlighter and a big notebook. Have all of y'all got to go school shopping? Yeah, I used to love to go school shopping and pick out my little notebooks and pens and markers. You're going today? Well, all of this stuff, when your parents take you to go school shopping, they are going to buy you stuff to equip you for school. Do you know what equip means? It means to prepare you for school, to make sure that you have everything that you need to start school. And so I have another special thing. This is my Bible. And my Bible equips me to be a Christian, just like the third graders when you got your Bibles this morning. That is what we use to equip ourselves or to prepare ourselves to tell others about God and to be Christians. So as you start school, just remember that God is always there with you. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. And he's just right there beside you, you know, kind of like on your shoulder. So just remember that as you start school. Let's have a prayer. Dear God, thank you for equipping us with all of the things that we need. We love you. Amen.
And now it is time for that holy chaos, which is passing the peace.
Thank you.
us affirm our faith through the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Gospel of Matthew, the 15th chapter, verses 10 through 15. Hear now God's word. Then he called the crowd to him and said to them, "Listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles." Then the disciples approached and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard what you said?" He answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if one blind person guides another, both will fall into a pit." But Peter said to him, "Explain this parable to us." I'll go a little further. Then he said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. And this is what defiles. For out of the heart come evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. The short prayer, which is a paraphrase of a psalm I usually say right before preaching, I have always done, almost always. And my son David, I was reminded, I saw my son David at a football jamboree just Friday night. He's a defensive line coach for West Oak. And he's married and living in Georgia and almost 30 years old. But I start remembering things he said when he was little and cute. And because of that prayer that I always say, he said, "Dad, why do you always say that prayer right before you preach?" And I say, "So that God will help me preach a good sermon." And Dave always, well, at that point, and he continued as he grew up, he said, "Well, why doesn't he?" You know, that became a kind of a running joke. Why doesn't he help you? But this time we'll pray sincerely, and let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Some weeks I am just raring to go, can't wait. I do feel inspired. I feel God was in the process and in the words and in the thoughts. And I feel like I have something I just can't wait to say. And then other weeks it's like today. Now, stay. Don't go anywhere. We hope there is a word from God in here. First of all, and starting this way, you'll kind of get what I'm talking about. Do you remember the AbScam scandal? Raise your hand if you do. Jessica, you weren't born. The AbScam scandal? Some of you do. It happened when I was in college. And one thing has stayed with me from that. They used to play over and over on the media, the national media, this embarrassing tape of a South Carolina politician who shall remain nameless, saying to a fake Arab businessman offering him a bribe, they would play that line,
I have larceny in my heart. That made an impression on me. Of course, he didn't know that he was saying it to a hidden camera, but his cheating heart apparently was just waiting for the time and opportunity. What do you have in your heart? Jesus is saying that what comes out of our heart is what defiles a man. Not all this ritual and rule and way of doing things or ritual hand washing, but what comes out of our heart. The Pharisees of old adopted a religious demeanor, a respectable persona, and they sought a good reputation in public. But apparently it was all an act, because Jesus called them elsewhere whitewashed tombs. They looked good and clean on the outside, but inside, in their heart, they were filled with all manner of decay. Inside, they were filled with all manner of corruption and greed and evil thoughts against others. Now, I'm talking about Pharisees, and that's a long time ago and way over there. Now, look around at everybody here. We all look nice on the outside, don't we? It's Sunday. We look nice. But over and over through our lives, we have found out that appearances can be deceptive. Who knows what's in another person's heart? Well, God knows. Hebrews in the 4th chapter says clearly, indeed, the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing until it divides soul from spirit, joints from marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Now, there's an old joke, and I tell you it's a joke first so you'll know what to do when I finish. There's an old joke that goes like this. A woman's voice is on the phone, and she asks, "Is this the Fidelity Insurance Company?" And the receptionist says, "Yes, ma'am, can I help you?" And the caller continues, "Well, I want to talk with someone about having my husband's fidelity insured." Well, that used to be a joke. But this is not funny. Have you heard that there are private detective agencies now that offer a service just like this? They dress up as an attractive man or an attractive woman and then make an improper advance and report back to the spouse who hired them how everything went. Wow. I suppose the idea is to find out what is in the spouse's heart when no one is looking and time and opportunity present themselves. Jesus said, it is not what goes in that defiles a person, it is what comes out which defiles or reveals what is actually in a person's heart. We all remember that coveting is one of the big ten. It's one of the big ten commandments. Have you ever thought that coveting is just a thought? How can coveting be such a big deal when it's only a matter of the heart? Well, the heart is where things start. James in the New Testament writes, "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it gives birth to sin, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death." We are enticed by our own desire, our own hearts. We live in a time when the idea of coveting as a sin is so hopelessly old-fashioned, we think uncritically that what we think is a private matter, and mostly what we do is a private matter too. We live in a time of intense individualism, intense narcissism, and disconnected desires. The basic attitude in our country seems to be, you don't have to be good, just act good. You don't have to be sincere, just act sincere. You don't have to love each other, just act like you do and get along. So many are so detached and uninvolved, even in their own lives, acting all the way, pointing fingers at those who don't act quite so well. That attitude has a cumulative effect. When I did prison ministry many years ago, to a man, when you ask the prisoners what they did wrong to be in jail, every single one of them said, "I got caught. I got caught." But do you know what's behind that attitude? You see, they actually believe that everyone is a criminal. From the politicians to the judge to the policeman who arrested them, they believed that. The only difference was they got caught. It is frightening how many people live every day thinking that way, justifying their every thought and every action. Emerson said, "A man is what he thinks about all day long." There is a spiritual emptiness only noticed when you look where God looks, into our thoughts, our hearts. Dare we gaze in there? What's going on in our hearts? God looks into our hearts. God knows what audience we are playing to, and God knows if our actions are meant to impress the community around us, or are they welling up as an overflow of love from His living Spirit within us. God knows the difference. Ultimately, it is your heart. And Jesus said very pointedly in the Gospel of Luke 6th chapter, the good man out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil man out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Loving actions, real actions, come out of the heart. They reveal whether God's love flows through you or something else. Whether your eyes are open to the image of God in other people around you or not. I was channel surfing on the television last week, and I ran across a show that is sort of like a postmodern candid camera. On this show, they try to scare the victim very, very badly and record it on hidden camera. I just watched it a few seconds, and it scared me. It chilled me to the bone because as I watched it, a young woman was made to believe that an actual murder had been committed in a home where she was hired. She was made to believe that an actual murder had been committed. And when she found out that the bloody mess was just a sick joke, this was her first reaction. Her very first reaction was, on camera, "I'm glad because I was worried that I was going to have to clean this up." Do you understand how pathologically self-centered our culture is becoming? Back in June of this year in Wichita, a woman lay dying of a stab wound in a convenience store, and people took little movies of her anguish on their cell phones. No one helped. No one called the police or 911. 3 times she tried to get up. This was on the surveillance camera, and no one called, no one helped, and she died. She was 27 years old. We don't always have to be God to see into hearts. We are creating cold, cold hearts who care for nothing but self. And that's the thing about sin and selfishness that we often miss. It is never just a private matter. We pretend that it is, but sin is not a private matter. G.K. Chesterton once wrote, "Right is right even if nobody does it. And wrong is wrong even if everybody is wrong about it." Truth demands integrity. And integrity demands that we accept the responsibility we have been given it and accept the consequences of the choices we make. Responsibility to do what is right and to care about others. See, the two words in responsibility, response and ability. We have been given the ability to choose how we respond to what happens in our lives, what happens around us, and how to respond to other people's needs. And Jesus taught very clearly that we have responsibility to God and responsibility for others. We are our brother's keepers, our sister's keepers. We are the one who should stop, as in the Good Samaritan parable, and help the man naked, beaten, bleeding in the ditch. The woman in Wichita could still be alive if even one of those customers in the convenience store had love enough in their heart and compassion enough in their heart to act upon it. It matters what is in your heart. Your heart shapes what you do. Now, back in that AbScam scandal, and you'll have to look it up on the internet if you don't know what that is, there was a tape running as the politician lived out the larceny in his heart. His words, not mine. And when the wounded woman lay dying as people stepped over her and took movies of her anguish, there was a tape recording all of it on the convenience store surveillance. And I started thinking, Does God not see all? Does God not see all in the same sort of way, but on a cosmic level? Can God not also see our hearts while whatever is happening is happening? Is G.K. Chesterton correct in saying right is right even if nobody does it, and wrong is wrong even if everybody is wrong about it? External experiences, external appearances are not our only concern. It's more than just the externals. Our hearts matter. As someone very wisely said, and I like this saying, but it's kind of one of those, Someone wisely said this, it's not just externals. Someone wrote, it is not progress if a cannibal learns to use a knife and fork. No, that's not progress. And sin doesn't have to be as obvious as cannibalism to affect other people. A good thought from Jesus to think about all day long. Remember, Emerson said, we are what we think about all day long. A good thought from Jesus to think is, how would I like it if this were done to me? Or how would I like it if I were ignored in my need? You see, sin is always a corporate act. If you cheat or steal, somebody else pays. If you break your word or covenant, somebody else pays. If you speed or drive impaired, somebody else pays, maybe with their life. You abuse the earth and its resources, somebody else down the road pays. Sin is never an individual thing. We cheat on taxes, withhold information, we spread a lie, we roll back an odometer, other people pay. Sin is acting unloving to others in a way that you would find hurtful if it were done to you. That's not hard to understand. Acting as if there is no God and I can do whatever I want because I want and I think I won't be found out is wrong. Your desire and mine, that's not the measure of goodness. The church is also corporate and individual. We are connected by sin and by the greater reality of God's love and grace. When I know in my heart that I am beloved by God, forgiven by God, precious to God, when my heart is filled with the knowledge of both my sin and God's love, which covers my sin, I start to think about other people in a different way. It changes my heart. If God can love me, if God can love me, then God loves them too. One more step. There's one more step to make Christianity, the Christian life, happen. Then I must love them as God loves them and loves me. A heart knowing this will connect and love and care about other people. And Christians don't act loving to impress anybody. We are loving as a natural overflowing from our heart because we understand how great a love was God's for us in Christ. What is in our heart matters. How is your heart? Let me end with a story, which is not a New Testament story. It's from a wise old rabbi. I don't have the name, but it's a wonderful story. The wise old rabbi was instructing his students and asking questions. That's the way rabbis teach. They ask questions. You know, once a student, I know this is old, but I'm going to do it. I've already started. Once a student asked a rabbi, why do you always answer a question with a question? And the rabbi said, why do you ask? I'd already started. I had to go through with it. Well, this rabbi was talking to his students, and he said he asked, how can a person tell when darkness ends and the day begins? After thinking a moment, one student replied, it's when there's enough light to see an animal in a distance, and then when you can tell that it's a sheep or a goat. And another student ventured that it was day beginning when there's enough light to see a tree and to tell whether it's a fig tree or an oak tree. And the old rabbi gently said, no, that's not it. Darkness ends and the day begins when you can look into a man's face and recognize him as your brother. For if you cannot recognize in another's face the face of your brother, the darkness has not yet begun to lift, and the light has not yet come. What is in your heart? Is there room there for self alone? Or is there room for God?
and others. How's your heart? Only you know the answer to that question, you and God. Amen. Stewards, we meet today at 5 o'clock in the Trinity classroom. It is a very important meeting. We'll be voting on several new initiatives. I do encourage your attendance. Now receive this blessing, this benediction, the blessing of the full knowledge of the great love of God the Father, the forgiveness and grace which is yours through your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the fellowship and the power of the Holy Spirit available to you even in this moment. You have been blessed. Now be a blessing to others in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.